We three kings of Oriental are bearing gifts we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. O star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Three wise men on a journey. My younger Peter, brother Peter, has always been more adventurous than his older brother. So I was not surprised to hear that when he graduated from college, he and his roommate Tom planned a road trip across the country. Admittedly, visions of my brother and his friend languishing in some southern jail somewhere, having stumbled onto a speed trap, filled my mind. But these two were up for any kind of adventure, and off they went. A gas credit card that Tom had, graduation cash, and some savings from college jobs, several jars of peanut butter and two loaves of bread, with a plan to camp as much as possible with only a few stops at motels. They did have a bunch of adventures, and they talk about them to this day. There's a lot to be said for having some courage, to have a heart that wants to explore and to know firsthand and to experience this big world. Thinking of my brother and his friend, I'm reminded of that bumper sticker you see sometimes: all who wander are not lost. And I'd like to add another one in light of Epiphany: all who wonder are not daydreaming. We love that hymn, We Three Kings. Star of wonder, we sing. Wonder is a gift of being human. So is the deep need to seek and to find and to arrive at life's great meaning. To take a journey that is not mere wandering is to begin in wonder. Wonder at what it's all about. Wonder what God is all about. Wonder how to find the truth about this life from the revelations we have at our disposal, pointing the way. In the time that the wise men traveled, you had a lot more to worry about than some rural speed traps. There were robbers. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? He was traveling and beaten by robbers along the way. And to say the obvious, you couldn't always count on a Good Samaritan if you ran into that kind of trouble. Of course, there were no convenience stores and no nice supply of inns. There was no AAA, not that it would do a camel much good. Then there were the cultural barriers, language barriers, difficulties of many kinds with roads or lack thereof. And these wise men are carrying tempting, expensive treasures with nothing but a star to guide them. It's not the kind of journey one would undertake lightly in Jesus' time. Indeed, travel was, as a rule, avoided as much as possible. People would even get their affairs in order before leaving town. But these wise men can't contain their wonder. They feel the fire within. In fact, they are in the wondering business, so to speak. To wonder is their job, and they take it very seriously. But they have a problem. This new unexplained star must mean something big. But what exactly is unclear? They have only the tools at their disposal that the Gentiles have. They do not have the Jewish scriptures, the religious tradition, and the well-developed account of a coming Messiah. So they determined that the star must be about a newborn king. And about that they are right, but in a way they don't yet comprehend. They come to do fitting homage to this king, but they need to go to Jerusalem first to get better informed. Now, the irony here is that Herod is much more to be feared than any robber on the road. Fortunately for them, he wants what they want, but for very different reasons, to destroy this rival king. Herod is a very wicked man, with unchecked ambition and ruthless ways. He is the complete opposite of holy wonder. He is the picture of political expediency. The narrative is so compelling, but it's also alarming. In our own minds, we want to leave Herod behind quickly. We want to see these exotic wise men reverently on their knees before the child and his blessed mother. But Herod is actually important to what Matthew in his gospel wants us to understand today. The Gentiles must come to the Jewish people to receive true revelation. In particular, to learn how the Messiah King is to be born in Bethlehem of Judea for these wise men. It's a very relevant detail for us in our gospel that Herod consults with the chief priests and scribes, who in turn consult the Hebrew scriptures to ascertain just what to tell the wise men. We Gentiles are to learn not only of a Messiah King here, but to see that true revelation comes only from the chosen people of God. And so it is that Epiphany is first and foremost about one truth. Epiphany is about the manifestation of the light of Christ to the Gentiles. And you don't get any more Gentile than these wise men. They are the proto-Gentiles. But they're included now. They have even received divine revelation from the true and living God. First, in the form that they, as astrologers, understand a star in the heavens. But then, in the scriptures of Israel, via the chief priests and scribes. And finally, by direct personal revelation in the dream given them by the living God that they are not to return to Herod, to tell Herod what he wants to know for evil purposes. Now, when we think about it, our Lord was under threat from the day of his birth, under threat from rulers, under threat from his own people, under threat that desert temptation that the devil gave him that way when, that he would be the kind of king Herod actually fears. Well, he chose not to go that path, thanks be to God, but to give his life as a ransom for many. So at last our wise men arrive, they unpack their gifts, and we who love that hymn know what the gifts mean. Gold for a king, frankincense for worship of God, myrrh for a burial. One wonders if the import of those gifts was revealed to the wise men at this point. But the greater wonder yet is what we share with them. St. Paul says in our epistle today, "In former generations, the mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promises of Christ through the gospel. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him, Paul says. The truth that all we know of God comes from the people of Israel, that the amazing gift of salvation is for us the inclusion of the Gentiles and with it the fulfillment of Israel's promise to be a light unto the nations in Christ Jesus. And we must never lose wonder of our inclusion, our grafting into Israel, as Paul says in Romans, like a wild olive branch onto a cultivated tree.
Remember,
he says, that it's not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. Having received such a gift greater than any treasure in any treasure chest anywhere, we too now travel the wise men's road of faith. At times, for many of our brothers and sisters throughout the world, it is as perilous as it was for those wise men. At times, for many of us, with so many comforts of the established church. But whatever our context, the star of wonder has never changed. It always leads to Jesus. To be a Christian is to remain in wonder and to travel as needs be. I think of my brother Peter and his friend Tom, their courage richly rewarded, their wonder filled to the brim with wonderful stories they have carried for their life. So too, our Christian journey. Let me end. You know, when Jesus sends out those first disciples, he tells them to carry even less than Peter and Tom took with them on that trip. And because those disciples traveled, because they risked to bring the good news to the Gentiles, we are here today. What a wonder. In the words of the great prophet Isaiah, who foretold it, "Arise, shine, for your light has come." Blessed Epiphany. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.